Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
Just another manic Monday, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Newcastle were tasty and Roy Hodgson was feisty. It's Monday, 14th of August. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Vidushan Hantaraja.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Welcome, one and all, to the Football Ramble. It's the start of the week, and Jim Campbell's back, baby.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness.
He's brought the Barclays back as well.
I have brought the Barclays back.
He ushered it back in.
Well, I've ridden the wave of it.
Yeah.
It was coming back anyway, but I've come back with it.
So you know that guy the other day in Portugal, he surfed that 110-foot wave?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. It's like a record-breaking thing.
Aquaman,
that's,
Jim.
That's you. The wave is the Barclays, and the surfboard is the Ramble.
Very much so.
And you're sliding in, cigar on the go.
Sunglasses on.
Yeah.
Why are you stepping on the Ramble?
Yeah. You know, he's using the Ramble as a vessel to deliver him to the people.
That's why.
Play on.
I think you knew that as well.
Yeah, I did. I wanted to say it, though.
Stupid question.
Very stupid question. Well, let's end the stupid questions now. Let's begin with a proper one. What was your highlight of the weekend, Luke Moore? You go first.
I'm going to go for the frankly remarkable foot race between Leandro Trossard and Willie Boddy in the Arsenal Forest game.
Really?
It was like a father and son race in like a school sports day.
Yeah.
It was basically a clash of amazing running styles. Mm-hmm. Like the 4'10" Leandro Trossard, the 8-foot Willie Boddy doing probably one pace for every 5 of Trossard's, but they were running exactly the same speed.
Yes.
And if someone's not photoshopped a photo of that with egg and spoons in their hands, I'll be very, very disappointed. It was incredible to watch. You missed it. You didn't see it.
I was...
Ali McCoy's was loving it.
I know he was, but I thought you were going to say Anthony Elanga's assist.
Well, have you got a chance to have your own highlight of the weekend?
No, I'm just disappointed in yours.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Okay.
Noted.
But more disappointment about Luke Moore later,
everybody. I was about to say, if you want to get disappointed by me, stick around.
Jim Campbell.
I am going to go for the wonderful moment where Peter Drury finally ascended Mount Barclays. And just, you know, took over as the top voice, essentially, in football broadcasting in the UK. It's weird to hear him next to sort of Carragher and Neville, because he's got this sort of lyricism, and they just sort of, you know, do their own things very differently.
Yeah. Is Peter Drury now become the top boy of the Premier League firm?
Oh, I like that.
I think he's the top man.
Top man, yeah.
Yeah, he's just such a lovely man.
Yeah.
Meet him. If you get a chance, meet him.
I suppose having Neville and Carragher there, a bit like, you know, I'll inscribe the tablets at the top of the mountain, you carry them down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I get you two for the weekend once every 2 weeks. I'll take you for McDonald's afterwards if you shut the fuck up.
Gary, shut up.
Yeah. What does that mean? I'll leave it.
Vitushin, your highlight of the weekend?
My highlight of the weekend is Roy Hodgson threatening to deck Max Lowe.
Yes! And that is the right answer.
That's what you're waiting for. You just sat there fuming until that.
No, it's nice to give Drury his props, but Roy Hodgson.
It was a very enjoyable moment of someone, you know, when people get older, they mellow out, but the rage still is within.
They're still them.
And all it took was a little tap in the gut to Roy. Yeah.
What did Hodgson? Hodgson described it as he...
Oh, he hooked me.
He hooked me.
He said he didn't really feel it as well.
Yeah.
Nice.
I like
but
that.
But I like... Who was
so that annoyed me a little bit. He's absolutely one of those old people who are like, oh, I'm getting bullied, when he's actually just... Nothing's really
Who
happened.
Was the Sheffield United player, Vish?
He was a bit of a Karen, I'm going
to
say.
Max Lowe, his name is. Sorry, how many old people are accusing you of bullying? Because I do not relate to that last thing
Andy Bradford doesn't
all.
Count.
I don't think he was moaning, because he was smiling and joking about
it. Yeah, but it wasn't a hook.
Nah.
Yeah. No, but it's the fact that he's still using that language.
Yeah.
The face on him was amazing.
It was class.
He feels like someone at Awake who's clearly got gangland connections.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the story is there, but that guy, there's something, that guy's got a past.
It's a little bit Gran Torino, but I did enjoy it.
I know what you mean.
I like the fact that the Sheffield United player, so that was Max Lowe.
Yeah.
He kind of had an expression on his face looking at him going, well, I can't hit him.
No, but he sort of chuckled, didn't he? He was whatever.
But I think he chuckled out of respect, be like, oh, fair play. He's up for it. Yeah. He is up for it.
Or Croydon Hodgson. Mm.
It's life in the old boy,
up from Snatch, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a bit of that kind of energy.
Absolutely.
Imagine if he had like a polystyrene cup of tea.
Yeah.
As we just taking the lid off it slowly as well. That would have been properly Bricktop vibes.
But it would be Bricktop from Lockstock, Jim, of course.
Oh, is that right? Okay. The same actor's in both. I thought it was Snatch, but he's in both, isn't he, that actor?
Yeah. He does the voiceover in one of them as well.
It's two banks of four.
I was kind of hoping that, I don't know, like Ray Lewington would be like, he's not worth it, Roy. Yeah. He's not worth it.
Yeah. You were right about Snatch. I've just suddenly realised.
Oh!
Yeah.
A 90s reference that you've tried to police and got wrong.
Yeah, well, there we are. I'm man enough to admit it.
That's my highlight of the weekend.
There we go. Okay, well, it's Monday, I'm afraid.
Long weekend.
I'm taking
some time out.
No, I shut the gate last night.
Snatch was released in 2000 as well. Just wrong all over the gap.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I love movies.
We'll call that a draw.
Is that the one about? Is that the one about the mouse in the guy's hat who makes him cook?
Absolutely.
And now we can continue.
My highlight of the weekend was from the Women's World Cup.
Yeah.
The Colombia manager. Big Sam vibes.
Yeah.
Big Sam Allardyce vibes about the Colombia manager.
Big Sam for a new identity.
Yeah. Exactly. He's popped up in Latin America.
Yeah.
But wonderful to see the Lionesses progress to the semi-finals.
100%.
Absolutely. Come on.
Have to batter Australia.
Yes.
Yeah. And I realise we have listeners from Australia and they're big supporters of women's football. But after the summer we've had, we have to batter Australia.
Yeah. Well, give us a prediction, Vish. You're the man who's going to get it right. These duels between England and Australia.
I'm going.
Yeah. Can't have a draw.
No.
Come on.
You do realise this is a podcast.
2-1 Lionesses. Yeah.
Thank you. Just say anything.
Right, there we are.
Doesn't matter.
No, we've got to get it right.
Yeah, okay. You were thinking, can that be rained off?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Right, everybody, let's get to the Premier League. We'll start with Newcastle United 5, Aston Villa 1. Newcastle are top of the league, baby. Eddie Howe has said he wants the Newcastle supporters to dream after their 5-1 battering of Aston Villa.
At 4-1 on the WhatsApp group, Pete Donaldson called it a title challenge. Keep this up as a title challenge.
Yep. Yeah, well, if you're going to win like that every week.
And then at the end of the game, he was like, oh, the squad's not good. Complaining about the squad
depth. He called it a paper-thin squad.
Yeah.
When one of their big summer signings came off the bench to score.
Two of their signings scored and assisted on their debut.
Yeah.
And he wasn't happy.
No, exactly.
He'll never be happy.
Well, I mean, he's
it was absolutely pumping, wasn't it, there?
It was pumping. I mean, he drinks Moretti, eats spaghetti, and hates Sunderland, Sandro Tonali.
Yeah. It was a great debut.
What a start. What a finish.
Started off well.
What a man. What a hairdo.
Yeah. Started off well.
Everything.
He's got a bit of the Adam Driver about him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Adam Driver energy, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, like a travel size Adam Driver.
Yeah. I'd say so, yeah. Like, Adam Driver's like pumped now, isn't he? Yeah. He's stacked.
Yeah. Probably, it was a wonderful Premier League debut for Tonali Vish.
Sorry, I nearly choked.
About how good it was.
Yeah.
You get
your brother got on your head again.
Yeah.
Yeah, your brother's really a big Newcastle fan. He must be delighted.
He is, yeah. Yeah. He didn't need to take it out on me when they were winning, though. Sending me abuse. Uh-huh. The thing I liked about the Tonali performance is, you know, when players come from Italy, and specifically when they're deep line midfielders, you're kind of like, okay, well, I wonder how that translates to over here. Like, what are they going to dictate in the same way? And actually, it looked like, you know, obviously we're only going on one game here, but it looked like he was quite liberated.
Yeah.
Like the way he broke into that is like a perfect lay run into the box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially when you consider how the ball was recycled on that side in the first place. Yeah. The other player, I think we should talk about, given that he was panned last year and actually had a few kind of unsavory moments with his own manager, Anthony Gordon. You know, they talked about how, you know, obviously player of the tournament in the under 21 World Cup.
Yep. Euros. Yeah.
Sorry, Euros. And then what took like something like 3 days off or something, and then went straight back into pre-season training with Newcastle. Clearly really driven, and I thought he was outstanding.
Well, those Euros under 21s, like something like that, he's used that. And he's brought that momentum straight into this season. And he probably needed that because
he also could have avoided it, as you know, some players did.
Could have done, yeah. Big price tag. Obviously left Everton and some of the fans weren't best pleased with him there. Hadn't started that much for Newcastle. He did little bits and pieces. But, you know, the figure he cut at those under 21 Euro Championships was quite something. He was very vocal in his talking up of the squad and so on and so forth. You saw a man growing in confidence, Jim, and he comes into the side, and not only is it a big win, but you know, your goal for Tonali, assist for Gordon early on, and so on, that just gets everybody up for it. It's pumping.
Absolutely, especially when, you know, Harvey Barnes comes on in the same position, also gets an assist and a goal. You think the competition between those two is going to be really, really healthy, because you feel like Barnes in particular, in a counter-attacking side, will absolutely clean up, and Newcastle will have a lot of that about them.
Yeah.
But as you say, like, Anthony Gordon's had an outstanding game as well there. So it's, I mean, the idea of the squad being paper thin is maybe not quite right.
Yeah. Well, but they do have Champions League football, so they've got a lot of football to play. Yeah.
Well, Howe say he wanted one more player, he said, didn't he? He wants one more before the end of the window, he said.
Who does he want? Someone who he also loves, because he said about Tonali, I fell in love watching Sandro play for Milan last season, and I think he looks good in a Newcastle shirt.
Nice.
Yeah, and said it in exactly that like that.
Do it again. So I find it quite erotic.
I'm not going to do it.
Okay. You do it afterwards.
Indeed.
One thing you guys didn't mention is I think Gordon said that, because I think a lot of people are expecting him to have a big season this season, and I'm one of those people. But he said, you know, the challenges have been very different from moving from Everton to Newcastle, and what Eddie Howe's demanded of him has taken him some time to get. I don't know if he meant kind of up to speed on fitness, but or up to speed on what the role he expects him to perform. But in the summer he looked amazing in the summer, and now he looks even better now. So it's an incredible start for Newcastle. I think on the Villa side of the ledger, though, disappointing, because I felt like Villa are in really good shape.
Yeah.
Until the weekend. I know it's only one game and it's the opening game of the season, and you do regularly find in the Premier League that opening days can be a strange old time because different teams are at different stages. So I wouldn't read too much into it, but the fact that Tyrone Mings looks like he's got a serious knee injury,
and Emi Buendia as well, they lost a few days before that.
He's out for a long old time too. So it was a tough ask for them on the opening day, and obviously they failed that assignment. But I thought they were kind of a little bit off it, to say the least.
Well, clearly they were.
Yeah.
But I mean, Newcastle was so bang on it that I think they would have blown away most Premier League sides, of course. Nice to see Emi Martinez making a bit of a tit of himself when he hauled Miggy Almiron
down. I like him.
Outside the box.
It's always the ones you least expect.
Did you think he should have got a red card for that?
No, I don't remember.
Nah.
Okay.
It's one of those ones that, like, you would personally like to see a red card, but you're never going to get one.
Yeah.
It's because he's done it in quite a theatrical, over-the-top way, where he's gone, I'm shithousing.
What's he doing out there?
Well, but he's just, you know, he's the last man there, isn't he? Or he's gone out wide to just stop an attack in a way where...
Cynical.
Yeah, of course it's cynical, but it's only a booking, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think people wanted to see a red card because it was so brazen, but that doesn't mean it is one.
When you get into a situation occasionally where, say, like, the game's in the balance, it's like the last minute, and a team is really pushing for a winner, and on the break another team goes, and you think they're going to score, but it's so far away from the goal, they get hauled down, that's only a yellow. That always feels like an injustice to me as well.
Yeah, of course.
But that's just how it is, right?
Did you see when Harvey Barnes scored, he did his He did that finish, didn't he? The sort of Thierry Henry finish,
mm-hmm.
which he loves. He did also his trademark bow and arrow celebration. Did you see one of the Newcastle fans doing his little bow and arrow celebration back to him?
A couple of them did it.
It was lovely.
One with his top on, one with his top off.
I know, you got the whole collection there.
Should take your pick.
A bit Cupid-y, that, isn't it?
It was.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. I know, it's all happening there. You've got to hand it to them. And also, I know we made this point last year, and I know they've had a lot of money to spend, blah, 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 blah. But I am pleasantly surprised how Eddie Howe is doing at Newcastle, because lest we forget, he's an English manager.
Here we go.
And when English managers get bigger jobs, they tend not to do that well.
Yeah.
Do they?
Folding like Donaldson here.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
No, but I'm just saying, his performance as Newcastle United manager has been very, very, he's very good. And it didn't have that much to go on previously with his CV. Examples, obviously, a good job at Bournemouth. Very different.
They could have gone after a super coach, basically, and they didn't, is what you're saying.
So far, the trajectory has all been upwards, isn't it? And this, I mean, it's obviously very, very early days. This appears to be continuing in that trend. The ruthlessness with which they put Villa aside is impressive.
Yeah, and it'll be a concern for a lot of other clubs who are trying to get, you know, into the Champions League or thinking Europa League places. Newcastle United are here to stay with all that filthy money. Right, let's move on to Chelsea and Liverpool. One each. First point for Poch at Chelsea. He said it is only the beginning. And he's right, Vish. There's still 37 games to play.
He is. Do you think he was talking specifically about that?
I'd love it if he was.
A lot of games to go, aren't there?
Yeah, well, he was talking in the context of he felt Chelsea were the better side, and that these things happen. There's a lot more to do. Other games like this, they'll put away. But it was an entertaining start. And a Spurs supporting friend of mine said it wasn't weird to see Poch in the dugout.
He said,
but because of Poch being there, he said it does feel weird that Chelsea seem a little likable now.
Well, I think...
I would disagree with that.
I wouldn't quite go that far.
Yeah, well, an Arsenal fan, Poch at Chelsea. I didn't think Jim would get on board with any of that.
Yeah, but I do agree with Jim, and I'm neutral on this.
Yeah, but you are filled with hate, though.
It's true.
Yeah.
Fueled.
No, you're filled with it, and then it fuels you.
Yeah, like a turbocharger.
Exactly, yeah. Where do you get filled with your hatred? Actually, don't answer that. But Vish, you were going to say something about Chelsea.
Yeah, I suppose the reason it doesn't look weird for Poch is because, you know, you look at that team that Chelsea put out, and you're like, where's everyone gone?
Yeah.
Like, none of the established faces are still there beyond Thiago Silva, God bless him. It feels like he's about as old as Rodgson now.
But the start of every season is an induction day for him, isn't it? It's like just explaining the role to all the new faces around him, just sort of being the adult in the room with his lanyard on.
It's got to be knackering.
Just follow me.
He's just got to learn new names every season, isn't he? He's
still got like 33 players in the first team squad, and obviously Pochettino likes to work with a small amount of players.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's still a challenge to be kind of met there. But I thought they obviously had a lot more of the ball than Liverpool.
Oh, yeah.
And they did, to me, seem like the better team. But also, just to make the final point, coming in is the way he has, and seeing Liverpool at home in the first day of the season, you're a bit like, oh, God, we could have had an easier one than that.
Yeah.
But they gave a good account of themselves, I thought.
Yeah.
Well, they did, yeah. I worry about James and Chilwell at the end of the season.
I know exactly what
they
you mean.
They are going to be exhausted.
Yeah.
So there was a point yesterday where when James was taken off, which was understandable because they were getting the most joy at the wing-back positions, and you kind of need to rotate them. Otherwise,
and Robertson didn't have a great game, did he?
Yeah, you lose that joy. And then you think he's club captain as well. So you're basically just playing 70 minutes a game?
Yeah.
Which is a bit awkward.
Or maybe even, not every other week, but maybe two and three games or three and four games.
Yeah,
kind of
yeah.
But we know Poch loves to rag the fullbacks.
Yeah, those exactly. wide players, if you go back to when he managed Spurs, those wire players were the most important players.
Well, but Chilwell seemed to be involved in everything.
He is outstanding. I think, actually, I was going to say people underrate him. I certainly underrate. I underrate how fast he is.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because he just looks too much like a normal bloke.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, he doesn't have I don't know, really aerodynamic hair or, like, you know, really muscly legs.
He has lovely hair.
He's lovely office hair.
Okay.
He's got the profile of a communal garden kind of battling midfield player, hasn't he?
Yeah, yes.
Like a James Milner type.
Yeah, to a point. But he's not. But he's had an easier life than James Milner. James Milner, you know, you can count the rings on his face, can't you?
Born at the bottom of a hill.
Yeah.
Or lived at the bottom of a hill.
James Milner could be his dad.
He might be.
He's been around for a long, long time.
It'd be an irresponsible, you know. I don't want to go into that. Ben Chilwell said of the Chelsea goal, "We did set pieces yesterday, as you do before
a game day, which I didn't know. It's a little insight there. So I went up to Axel De Sassi and told him we would score tomorrow. We manifested it.
Yeah, nice. Wow. This was a game where there was like...
It's a big language, manifested it.
It was great. Great to see.
Ooh.
There were. It was a game of almost like really fine margins on like disallowed goals as well.
Yeah, it was.
Like, I mean, Salah's assist for the Liverpool goal was incredible. Mm.
Vish ruined it for me.
Oh, did he?
Why?
Because you said in the chat, you were like, oh, it's the assist of the season. It's going to be the best one. And I was like...
Why did it ruin that? Why did that ruin
it? Well, I thought, this is going to be... And
it's
I
gone
saw
too
it.
Far.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
And I thought... You know, it was very good, but I...
Sorry, the first touch, the way he takes it in, and the way everyone thinks, right, he's just going to head down, bomb towards goal, and then plays...
I didn't think that. I've got the vision.
He played...
The way I could see, the way Salah was pissed off when he came off, I think speaks to Marcus there.
Exactly.
I think he was like, if Vish calls that the assist of the season, I'm fucking fuming.
Yeah.
And who told him then?
I saw the Martinelli one as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, exactly. I mean, that was rubbish.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. All right, we're saving.
Sorry.
We're talking about Arsenal's second half.
We'll talk that later.
Look, anyway.
Yeah. It was a brilliant assist.
It was a brilliant assist, we can all agree.
Yeah. The finish as well, though, was just... I love that he just dangled his leg out, pushed his body towards it, almost like a sort of karate kick along the floor. You don't see finishes
Liverpool
like that
missed,
very often.
Yeah, so much last
season. He's a great player.
He's really dynamic.
He looked like he used himself as a snooker cue.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it was great. But I was really impressed with Chelsea yesterday, actually, because at that point when you know, Salah's goal is disallowed, you think, they might get... This could be a difficult afternoon while they're still gelling and sort of recalibrating everything. But they stood up to that really, really well. And they became the better team by the end of the game. I think Conor Gallagher started off having a little bit of a tricky first half. Mm. He grew into the game, was so tenacious by the end of it. Nico Jackson kept going, didn't quite come off for him, but it was always a threat, was always making himself available, making himself busy. Raheem Sterling sort of looked like his old self a
Enzo
bit more
Fernandez.
As well. Fernandez was really, really good as well.
And this is Pochettino at the helm.
Yeah.
It just, you look at the talent in that Chelsea side and you think, last season it was all over the place. And we thought to ourselves, well, not even Frank Lampard can get a tune out of this.
No, exactly. Whereas, you know you're in big trouble.
Whereas Pochettino, a proven manager, has managed to do it, or is managing to do it, we should say, because it is, as he says, just the beginning. But very, very interesting game, of course. Now, there was interesting chat last week about Moses Caicedo going to Liverpool. That we had an offer accepted. But then it was reported late last night that Chelsea have now broken the British transfer fee after agreeing to a £115 million deal with Brighton, which is £4 million more than Liverpool's offer. And I'm glad for Caicedo, because when Liverpool agree to sign him and Brighton go, it's all done, and it's a well-trodden path, Brighton to Liverpool, or certainly the south coast of England. And I thought to myself, oh, Caicedo, like, that is a huge move. He's going to be Alexis McAllister. He's just like, nah, I don't fancy it. Yeah. It's pretty outrageous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Liverpool will surely give him some treatment at Anfield when he goes there later on in the season.
To be absolutely fair, what he said was, I gave my word to Chelsea that I'd go there.
But Chelsea is kind of like, right, lads, you now really need to bid for me.
I'm Peter Odemwingie. I'm in the car park and I need you to back me up.
Imagine if Big Todd went, we don't fancy you anymore. It'd been a disaster.
I mean, because Todd Boehly is absolutely...
He can't then go to Liverpool.
Yeah, that's true. Todd Boehly is exactly that kind of person who, if you don't want him, he wants you.
Mm.
And also, Roberto Di Zerbi said, we've already forgotten about Caicedo.
Yeah.
So he had nowhere to go.
Yeah.
He'd have no destination.
Can you imagine that? A player who's been valued at over £100 million, like, well, Liverpool now don't want him, Chelsea don't want him, Brighton.
You've burnt every bridge.
Yeah.
I think when you get to that point and you're valued over £100 million, you'll be all right.
No, you've got to be a freelance footballer.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You've got to pick up the work where you can.
Imagine all the invoicing.
Gunslinger.
Have a sit next to Kylian Mbappe and just watch a bit of football.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I would recommend.
Did you feel at times yesterday that game got so chaotic that it was almost like they were pitching to Caicedo to be like, look, come and help us out.
Yeah, maybe.
Look how much of a mess we are.
It just sort of missed a bit of feistiness between the two managers, because it was slightly reminiscent of when Spurs played Chelsea.
It was
too
respectful.
Yeah, exactly. They had a big hug at the end. Although I quite like Pochettino's Diego Simeone vibe with the All Black.
Although it's a quite Spursy navy, isn't it? It's the same sort of suit you would want at Spurs.
I just think Argentinian manager because of Simeone.
Maybe.
It's a massive missed opportunity here, given the case of their situation, because they could have, if they had any absolute nuts about them at all, they could have said, all right, whoever wins this game gets to play.
Oh, that would have been good.
It would have been great. And if it was a draw, he has to stay at Brighton.
There we go. All right, let's have a quick break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Also in Burmo, you know, prone to making defenders do the stanky leg. I don't know if you know what that is, but you know what it is. It's putting your leg out and not being able to get the ball, basically. Okay. Do the stanky leg.
There he is, Mr. Sturridge.
Do you all know what that is, by the way?
Yeah. I do now.
Okay, so it's a dance move from a song that right. came out about 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe even longer than that, fuck. Yeah. It's worth watching because when you see it, it's exactly as he described.
Nice.
Fair enough. Yeah.
I was happy to see him. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's an example of someone Jim is happy to
see.
Well,
this is the Daniel Sturridge derby, of course.
It indeed. Is, which is what they got him in, presumably.
Presumably. But he's here to stay.
I like the idea that he came in. He's like, I'm not going to do anything that's like a traditional pundit's role.
Yeah.
I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to wear whatever I want. And it's going to be a charisma bomb.
Yeah.
Rather than just some people. I mean, Roy Keane's shtick is good. I like that. But some other people's shtick isn't that good. And I think he was a bit of a breath of fresh air, actually.
But yeah, he dovetails with Roy Keane's shtick very well, doesn't he? Because he's stated his aim this season is essentially to try and make Roy Keane laugh with vibes as much as he can.
And this is my point, Jim, is that I think you're right. It was quite refreshing to have Daniel Sturridge on there. I think it might quickly become a bit annoying.
It could wear thin.
Yeah.
What, for you or for Roy?
Both of us. Yeah. What do you think, Vish?
I mean, I really like him. Like, he's been doing these video, like preview videos for a long time. And I think that is probably something that will crop up because a lot of the references that he leans on are like, you know, his personal interests, which can be quite specific in the music he likes. And
I don't mind that. Though.
Nice singing voice.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a very good singing voice. But
yeah. It
could grate. Some people,
like Roy Keane,
some people who watch football and, you know, complain about it. Some people who listen to this show and complain about it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Do you see what I'm getting at here?
True.
There's a trajectory of Micah Richards where now he basically just goes, Roy, like Pat Butcher in about 1998.
Yeah.
And then laughs a lot, right? That's like his thing.
Yeah.
And I think Daniel Sturridge could properly get under Roy Keane's skin in a way that would be really interesting.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think that's why he's there.
Yeah, but the
I
fact
think
that he's kind of stated that, though.
Yeah.
No, but that's
confident,
nice.
Though, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, okay, well, let's go with it. I'm enjoying it for the moment.
Yeah, I'm all about, it should be entertaining watching TV.
Exactly.
And so,
exactly.
That's, so I'm fine with it.
Well, there we are. All right, we're Team Sturridge.
Yeah.
For now.
For now.
Of course, thanks to Patreon member Chris for choosing today's clip out of the break. You could select the clip out of the ad break next week. All you have to do is head to patreon.com/footballramble and become a Friend of the Ramble Patreon subscriber for just $5 a month. You'll also get ad-free shows, weekly bonus content, and loads of other amazing benefits. Do it now, damn you! The link's also in the show notes.
Yeah, you get access to the Discord as well, which I'm on, chatting away with people about it. It's great chat.
Yeah, you're giving betting tips?
Well, on that note, absolute shocking weekend.
Oh, Luke Moore.
I know.
Oh,
I don't know how my start of the season can get any worse.
You try and do your bit for charity.
I know.
Yeah, you guys, well, you two did do your bit for charity.
Look, I think that people don't like to see it because obviously you ended last season celebrating the fact that your tip for Mitrovic not getting to 12 goals
that went happened, to shit
but,
as well.
But you went too early.
Yeah.
You went too early, that went to shit. And then with Harry Kane.
I even arranged a ban for him.
You did. you went too early with Harry Kane. You thought that. Yeah. And now this.
Yeah.
Talk us through it, Luke.
Reputation's in the absolute gutter.
Yeah.
For those of you who haven't joined the dots, it's now time for the Ramble Hacker with Betfair. Let's see how we got on in the Ramble Hacker with Betfair, it says here. Every week we're placing the £10 hacker on our four match odds 90 markets across the Premier League each weekend, where any winning bets are paid out at 90 minutes. So you don't need to worry about any stoppage time drama ruining your bet. That's the whole shtick around it. Purposely, if you haven't heard Friday's show, I purposely picked the last game of the weekend, the latest game I could pick, thinking, oh, it'll be fine by then because it'll be done. Turns out, Pete.
When you say it'll be done, someone else would have messed up.
Pete picked Arsenal to win at home.
Yep.
Oh, well done, Pete. Fucking hell. That's a 1-7 shot. He won, though. Fair enough.
He got it.
Fair enough.
Right.
He won.
Right.
Yeah. You haven't got him when he picked outrageous bets.
True. Game number two, Vish, you picked Newcastle. An emphatic win by them on the open day. I think we can all agree. Game number three, and you know, although he's being quite mean to me today, I'm actually going to turn the other cheek, play the bigger person and say Marcus picked the toughest one of the weekend, I think, away from home, Fulham to beat Everton. They did, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then we came to game number four.
Yeah.
I picked Chelsea.
Yeah.
The result was a draw. So we didn't win that one.
So close to winning our first collection.
And I felt the pressure. I did really start to feel. As soon as that Newcastle, I think it was the Newcastle game was the most recent one before it.
Yep.
As soon as that won, I was like, fucking hell. Because I wasn't that convinced.
Doesn't want to win it.
No,
this is loser talk.
No, I wasn't. The thing was, I picked Chelsea to beat Liverpool because I think they might start the season really well. And I'm not that convinced by Liverpool this season. But what I should have done is, because it's the opening weekend of the season, it's really difficult to predict. I should have just gone for something easy. And I didn't. And I've let myself down. I've let Prostate Cancer UK down. I've let the listeners down as well, probably.
Your family.
So yeah, well, they don't care as much.
You should see what they've been tweeting.
They're used to it. Let's be absolutely clear about that.
Let Liverpool down.
So as it... I'm not bothered about that. So as it says here, we didn't win. But there were, I mean, this is interesting news, actually. There were two stoppage time goals in the Premier League this weekend.
Yeah.
Don't forget, on Friday, we said for every stoppage time goal there is, Betfair are going to donate £10 into the charity pot. So that's £20 already secured for Prostate Cancer UK, because Evan Ferguson scored for Brighton in injury time, and so did Harvey Barnes for Newcastle. So that's £20 in the pot already. So it's not all is not lost.
Yeah.
We've still made a contribution, because remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, you will get your winning bet paid out in full at 90 minutes, regardless of what happens. So that's that. We go again on Friday.
Come on.
Objectively speaking, 3 out of 4 to start, which is not that bad.
It's a great start.
So it's a platform to build on. And we'll see how we get on next weekend.
Damn right, damn right.
I'm sorry, everyone.
That's all right. Apology accepted. Look, we're all Team Moore.
Thank you.
Okay.
You don't sound like you are. What's confusing
to
me.
But you have to learn, you see.
Yeah,
And
bit of tough love.
Tough love, exactly. I'm only doing it because I love you.
Tell him what you said to me earlier about John Stones.
I said, remember your pick about John Stones the last season of the season, but it was a while ago now, I can't remember when it was. And you got that one right, and that was a bit of a strange pick, and people doubted you then. And look what you showed them. Well, they're doubting you now.
I did a good thing once about 18 months ago, though Marcus can't really remember. It's the motivational stuff I need.
Last season, people doubted Arsenal.
They said
they can't finish in the top two. Well, they bloody well did.
They did.
That's what they did, Jim. Yeah. And they're on for it again. They beat Nottingham Forest 2-1. A great start to the season.
Yeah, eventually.
Shame they didn't keep the clean sheet.
Great advert for the Premier League as
well. But they got over the strange start to proceedings at the Emirates because kickoff was delayed by 30 minutes due to an e-ticketing issue.
Which had been foreseen by every single person that was looking forward to going to the stadium that day.
Producer Rory said a couple of days before, he said, "Oh, you know, I want to go and stuff, but I'm not sure if we're going to sort the tickets out and everything like that." And he was talking about it because it's been known by Arsenal fans for a while before.
The ticketing system is changing to the point where essentially you have to have the app on your phone, and the season ticket is assigned to your app. And if you want to transfer it to someone else, you do that through a different system, etc., etc., etc. A lot of people hadn't figured that out. It's kind of a bit of a confusing system online. The explanation of it isn't very, very clear. I'm not sure that was the actual issue though. Apparently the turnstiles froze essentially. Mm, right. So the new system and the turnstiles weren't talking to each other.
But you got in all right.
I got in all right because I got there very, very early.
Yeah. Everyone with a European Union passport managed to get in quickly, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Oh. That's good. It's good. If I mention Brexit, it gets pissed off.
Never mentioned the B word.
But it looked quite scary at times, the sort of the huge crowds outside. People getting very, very anxious, very stressed out.
Good.
And it was sorted out within that half an hour by the time it kicked off. Everyone seemed to be in, and I was a little bit worried the atmosphere was going to be bad because of it, but actually it was pretty good. I've seen people saying, "Oh, it wasn't as good as the last season." I think there might be some sort of rose-tinted spectacles on that, because
last season was
pretty good to me.
Last season was a bit of an anomaly at the Emirates, if you think about it.
Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah. I mean, it depends whether that's fully turned around and they're going to carry that on, or whether they're going to.
But when expectation creeps in, that's when the atmosphere
changes. When it gets different, doesn't it?
I just think also. I mean, I know this is probably a club-specific issue. But it's, I know there was a game on Friday night, of course, but it's the first Saturday of the Premier League season, the first day, the first game of the Saturday, everyone's looking forward to it. To have that go out there and have to delay the kickoff and everything like that, it's just a terrible advert for Premier League football, actually.
Yeah.
So it wasn't great to see.
I'm sure they'll get it fixed by the next one, because I imagine they'll get fined every time that happens.
Exactly.
But the game itself, I enjoyed a lot, obviously. It was very strange to see the lineup at first. I think we're going to get a lot of variation from Arteta in terms of personnel and formation this season. It looked like, I'm still not really even sure how they lined up. It was either a back three or a back four with Thomas Partey playing as the sort of inverted right back in the role that Zinchenko normally plays on the left. People saying, it didn't work at all. I mean, we sort of went into a comfortable 2-0 lead. I think you can argue that shows it kind of did work.
Yeah, so I wouldn't agree with that. What I would say was, I would say that they dominated the game, dominated the ball massively. They had a massive amount of possession, and they just kind of seemed to lose their focus a little bit towards the end, and it became a little bit more shaky than it needed to be, right?
I wonder if part of that is the amount of new players being bedded in. Obviously, you've got three new players coming into the first team, certain players playing in new positions. Obviously, Timber had to come off, which is gutting. That looks like it's going to be quite a serious injury. Hopefully, we're still waiting on that. Hopefully, it's not too bad, but I think that might be a significant amount of time on the sidelines. But yeah, there was a definite dip in the second half.
I thought Forest played this quite well, actually. They knew Arsenal were going to come out at them. They lost two goals quite quickly, but they dug in there, got a late goal, and that's and obviously then pushed to get the second, which they didn't quite get. And it was like, well, in that first half, you thought Arsenal would win this 3-4-5.
Yeah.
And of course they didn't. And concerning for Forest, considering their pre-season, they didn't look great. Although sometimes a pre-season one can read into it and blah, 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 blah. But they finished the game quite strongly, and I think that'll give them a little cheer. But I love that Forest goal. What a breakaway.
Yeah. Brilliant. It's really, really quick.
On the
so
pace,
quick.
It was Anthony
Elanga, wasn't it? Who made the
Elanga
run.
Made the run.
The ball, yeah.
And Awoniyi who finished it. But he started the move in his own box.
Yeah.
It was tremendous.
It's always pleasing.
Stuff.
It's
really
always pleasing.
Oh my goodness, the athleticism.
Surprising he's not starting gorgeous. For Forest, because they were a different team with him. Having that focal point, you could tell it's like, we've got a problem to deal with here.
But maybe that was Cooper's plan.
Yeah, I think so, because I think he's not the most diligent, without the ball, I suppose. But even the little cut to the near post, not a lot of strikers do that. I appreciate that very much. Bukayo Saka's goal, though.
Beautiful.
I think we spoke about it last year, and we talked about how every now and again he gets in that position and there's a bit of Arjen Robben about him.
Yeah, that's becoming his
special move. Yeah.
England versus Ukraine, I was there for that, and it was delightful.
Kai Havertz couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
You see how pleased he was, Kai Havertz? He was like, mouth open.
But we saw him against North Macedonia as well before the season finished. As well,
Stop talking about England. Yeah. Yeah. He's done it for Arsenal as well.
Yeah, I've said that. This is the important thing.
It's quite cool seeing, and you see it more with someone at that age when, like, every season seems to bring like a new level of progression.
Indeed, and a new level of pace he hits the ball and precision.
Yeah.
Because again, like Saka up until...
It's like he's too nice to hit the ball that hard.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know what? I don't think that's ever been true though. I think people
No, no, sure. But it's just like quite an angelic
face. Oh, I see what you mean. It's like I can't get my head around the fact that Anthony Joshua, such a lovely seeming man, punches people in the face for a living. It's a similar thing, isn't it? I see what you mean.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Well, yes. Look, that Martinelli assist, by the way.
Absolutely beautiful.
You called rubbish earlier on.
I just think it's a nice piece of skill, but I think he...
Didn't mean it.
He intends to get on the other end of it.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, definitely.
I don't think he does.
I think he does.
Yeah, he does.
That's 2v2 in the studio. The listeners have the final say.
Well...
That's how it goes.
I mean, that's just how I saw it. It's a good piece of skill.
He knows Eddie Nketiah.
If Anthony did that, you'd be like, oh, yeah, he meant it.
No, because it requires using your other foot.
True, yeah.
He uses both feet.
Surely he can use that as a sort of club. to bounce things off.
We do want to sign him, but there's one problem. What's that? His other foot's a club. Okay, but how good is his good foot?
Yeah, but footballers
really good.
Footballers have a bit of the golf course, don't they?
They do. It'll be absolutely fine. They do.
Yeah.
Can I just add that I think playing in the absence of Jesus, I think playing Nketiah in his place and playing Havertz deeper is the right call. I mean, we said it on the show a few times. It just means Havertz can affect the game more.
All right.
I think he's better in a deeper position.
Okay. Yeah.
Which worked well, I thought.
It was interesting seeing him make his debut. I think he's going to take a little bit of time to get up to speed. He's very sort of one pace, which is an interesting thing about him. You know, once he beds in, it's too early to judge him, basically.
It's too early to judge it. Elsewhere in London, there were problems with kickoff times as well. Brentford, of course, drew 2-2 with Spurs, and that was delayed as well because there was no water at the GTEC Community Stadium.
Thames fucking water. Who'd have thought it?
I was stunned to hear this. What was there? Was it gushing out of a big pipe?
Thames Water was it something like 100 and something million litres of water a day?
Yeah.
It's a failing organisation.
Mm. Yeah. So it's not shareholders do all right.
Exactly. It's not a huge problem.
Let's just put it in perspective here. Let's think about the bigger picture.
What I find quite interesting is that, you know, that basically the UK is falling to pieces, right, around our heads.
Mm. Yeah, it's still great, though.
The ground underneath us is leaking.
It might take...
No, it's turning into a big bog, Jim.
Well, I just think it might take the nation to see that through a Premier League lens. Maybe. You've done about it. If every single weekend, so it goes wrong with the country via a Premier League lens...
Indeed.
We might finally get some control over the situation because it's one thing that we all care about.
Yeah, definitely.
That's actually a great point when you think about the number of times that whenever there's a local derby on, the only thing that they rival teams seem to bond over are local food banks.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Man City's local food bank is here, or the Liverpool local food bank is here, and both sets of fans get together. But you're absolutely right. Like, this was actually another version of that.
Yeah.
Sorry, can I just recap on that? It's actually Thames Water alone actually lose 630 million litres of water a day.
Right.
What?
So it comes out at around, it's a number per year so big on the little calculator thing on my computer that I genuinely can't read it. I think it might be 2 trillion litres of water.
Unconfirmed reports that a spokesperson for Thames Water says, well, could be worse.
Yeah, could you think about having a Lucozade instead?
What do you need all that water?
So I hope that this happens all the time so that people start to really get to grips with the idea that the whole of the UK's coastline is full of sewage and that the amount of water being lost is actually quite literally a number that is too big for the human mind to conceive of.
Yeah. And Todd Bowley has put a bid in.
You're like, who's the man who's on the River Crusade? Fergal Sharkey,
yeah. From the Undertones,
Channeling the spirit of Fergal Sharkey.
This is what I really care about. I care much more about this than I do about football.
Although that first half was good.
It was great.
It was worth the wait, wasn't it?
It was.
The highlight water would have ruined it.
Well, maybe the water got to them in the second half.
Yeah.
They were tired, they were thirsty, and they ran out of steam.
Maybe the first half was a mirage.
Possibly, Jim, possibly.
Maybe my highlights of the weekend was obviously Spurs played some quite interesting football. They played some good stuff. It was like a much higher kind of much higher kind of tempo type football, which fans will be interested in. In that context, I did see a Spurs fan on Twitter refer to Antonio Conte as the Parmesan Poulis.
That is very
much
enjoyable.
Better than the Parmesan Poulis, apparently.
I'd say so. I would say so. Yeah, yeah, well, yeah. Certainly, the one of a few Spurs players who looked reinvigorated now that old Parmesan Poulis is not there. I mean, Yves Bissouma looked like a different man.
Yeah,
was there not a little bit just in a game where there was a lot of movement in midfield and Brentford, you know, come at you in waves, and he seemed to have he was almost like anchored in the middle. Like, they couldn't get him off the ball.
Yeah.
He was driving forward with it. Was there a little bit, a hint, a whiff of Moussa Dembélé?
Oh,
nice. Now you're talking.
Takes
which
the
one,
ball
which
down.
One was about 18?
The one who played for Spurs. Yeah.
The main one.
The one who played for Fulham, yes.
Yeah.
actually, there was more than one who played for the one who played for Spurs, yes.
Spurs are very good, much, they're very much playing like a team who's just recently deposed a tyrant.
Oh, no. Yeah. Right. And replaced with such a charming operator.
Yeah. And this is, you know, this is what they've been crying out for a long time, isn't it? It's essentially positive football is what works there.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
You know, that's a big part of the identity of the club. And they've had a series of managers who have just ignored that and tried to play around deficiencies rather than play to strengths.
But they've hired psychodramas as managers.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the last few goes, right? So, yeah. I mean, Big Ange, I mean, first of all, a genuinely likeable Australian.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean,
you're saying that as if there's not many.
What's your point? I mean, Jim, you, as an Arsenal fan, you must be begrudgingly saying.
I have to begrudgingly say. He's a very, very likable
Australian. He is.
But it's not Margot just Robbie's Australian.
Very likable as well. There's a few of them. There are a few out there. If you'd love to look.
Ramping it up before Wednesday. Fish has probably got to go back to Australia at some point.
Yeah.
Left some stuff over there during the Ashes. Yeah.
But Jim, I mean, as an Arsenal fan, you must look at him and go, because he says all the right things. Like, he talks about how he talks about that there was a concussion issue with the game.
That's
and he
right.
said all the right things about that, responsible things. Because you find a lot of particularly old-fashioned managers who still ply their trade in the game, saying, "Oh, you know, well, you know, he wanted to continue, so it's up to the player."
Well, Romero was gutted not to continue,
he had to have the decision taken out of his hands. Yeah. That's right.
But we've seen plenty of clubs ignore that reality and just sort of carry on when the player said they wanted to. He's saying all the right things. They've made some good signings. Obviously, the departure of Kane is massive. I think even though Richarlison is obviously not to the same quality of Kane, him playing out wide was a waste of him last season. We'll see better from him this season.
Especially with Maddison in there.
Absolutely. He's just going to be putting chances on a plate for him.
Yep.
He also said that the way his philosophy is that he isn't the sort of manager that will shut up shop at 1-0 even with 5 minutes to go. And I hope there is more to come from that.
I really like his story as
well. So I forgot to say you get fifth.
I really like Postecoglou's story, but I'm sure we've all heard of it in bits and pieces.
Yeah.
And I hope it doesn't become that thing where we're still talking about it in like 6 months' time or something.
Yeah. No, I think he's got too much about him for that. He looks like he belongs there. There, doesn't he?
No,
he
doesn't. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about our media.
The narrative.
But I did quite like when he talked about he had to pull out of his fantasy football league group, which he was gutted about. But he did then say, "I don't need to play anymore because I'm a Premier League manager." There you go. It's not a fancy anymore. Like, come on, big boy.
I'd also like to add that Destiny Adogi at left back was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And he's the kind of player that will make Spurs fans finally stop wondering about Ryan Sessegnon's potential. Because that's just like a train that's never coming.
Yeah.
Stand on the platform waiting for the Sessegnon train.
What did you think of Maddison's debut?
I thought he was good.
Looks the part, doesn't
he? He flourished in that role.
Number 10.
Yeah, what I liked about it is I liked his performance. I liked, obviously, 2 assists, which obviously can't argue with. The free kick for the first goal it's undefendable, that kind of free kick.
And that's what Richarlison should be looking at, because he's decent in the air.
Absolutely. And I also liked his comments, Maddison's, after the game, where he was asked about a number 10 shirt and he literally just said, "Look, I want the responsibility. I want to play it a bit. Yeah. I want to do this." And so I think that bodes really well for Spurs for this season. I do think, although I think Postecoglou's handled the Kane thing brilliantly from start to finish, and now he's what he's done by handling it that way is he's put himself and his team in the position where they can just forget about it now, because he's not kind of like pleading for Kane to stay. Even though some of the stuff coming at the club, I think, is a little bit small time, like publishing stuff on the Twitter about how grateful they are for Kane and all the rest of it. Yeah. They should be moving on as quickly as possible. But I think Postecoglou will enable them to do that. I do think possibly Richarlison playing that nine role that he plays for Brazil. I just wonder how many goals he's going to get this season.
Yeah, we will have to wait and see. I think, by the way, it was probably good for Spurs that Harry Kane didn't win the German Super Cup, because you could imagine...
They got absolutely smashed.
They did, yeah.
I watched it.
Crazy that he made his debut. He came off the bench, of course. But I just wanted to mention Brentford, Vish, a team that is close to your heart. Obviously without Ivan Toney, but they've still got goals. And Mbeumo and Visser were two players that were going to have to step up, and a couple of goals in the first game. Oh, goal each, sorry. You can't really complain too much about it.
Yeah, but it's interesting because previously when Toney has been unavailable through injury or suspension or whatever, they have both stepped up. Mm. They clearly really enjoy playing with each other. Mbeumo is just outstanding, really. Yeah. You'd think that,
and he took a Toney-like penalty.
Yeah, I love that so much. But if you think about the way that he operates out wide, the way he operates in the middle, the way he drives with the ball at full pace. You know, we talk about some players who seem faster with the ball than without it.
Yeah, yeah.
He's about top speed in both, isn't he?
Yeah, there's a number of players at Brentford which I can't work out that. You think, why is a bigger club not coming for them? And that's no disrespect to Brentford.
I know what you mean.
But I wonder if it is just the system, if it is just the way they play.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Also, Rico Henry is another person.
He had
a brilliant game on the weekend.
It looks like a right good time at Brentford.
Yeah.
It does.
They're very settled, aren't they?
Yes.
They're very settled.
It's much like Bournemouth from a few years ago when they were under Eddie Howe. They're pitched at that perfect point where, partially because of the system, bigger teams don't come in for their players. They're like, you know those fish that hang out behind sharks?
Yep. Yeah.
So the shark doesn't know they're doing it.
Yep.
Yeah.
No other predators coming near them because they're behind a big shark.
Yes. Yeah.
That's exactly where
Brentford
are. They're
never going to eat the shark.
No, absolutely not.
What are more fish doing?
But they're not going to get eaten.
That's a great idea. They're called remoras.
I have no
idea.
They
might be called remoras. Maybe.
Right, okay.
That's a great idea.
Stop talking about Brexit.
Vish, you seem like you've just hit on something that you will do if you ever wake up as a fish, which seems like it might be a very real future for you in your mind right now. Vish, can we explore that?
Vish is getting the train down to the coast. He's going to have a go at this.
I might start swimming behind sharks. But I can't swim. I need to learn how to swim. But then
I thought Jim was going to be really unkind and say that's what you do with our journalists.
Oh, I
wouldn't say that. I think that's what Jim, by the way.
Yeah, just to clear that out, Vish, Luke definitely hasn't said that.
No, you haven't said that.
Can I wrestle this back to Brian Mbeumo just very quickly?
Great beard.
Yeah, lovely beard. What I would say about him is that I think he's possibly one of the most underrated players in the league for the following reasons. I think he played in every game last season in some capacity, right? So I think he started 36 out of 38 and came on the other two.
Goals and assists.
9 goals, 8 assists. Mm. Not many people talk about him. And as you say, not been linked to many other clubs. I do think maybe that Spurs may go back in for Toney in January, perhaps.
Yeah,
they tried to get him before. Yeah. He fits what they're trying. It depends what Postecoglou wants, of course. But as we've mentioned on the show a number of times in the past, he's the player who's most like Kane.
Yeah,
and so he might fit in if they still want a Kane type player there. But maybe they don't.
I wonder if the Mbeumo thing was the season that Brentford came up. He had the record for most shots off the post. And there was almost like a bit of a clownish figure. Yeah, a bit of a clownish figure. And then he was like, okay, well, I'm just going to shoot inside the post now. And
Do you think he played too much Roberto Baggio magical kicks?
You can never play too much of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can never play too much of it, can you?
You'd embarrass yourself saying that.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I'm just asking the question.
Yeah.
Let's finish the show talking about Luton Town. They were beaten 4-1 by Brighton, of course. First time back in the top flight, of course, since the early 90s. Rob Edwards lost his voice. He was shouting away so much he could barely speak in the post-match interview afterwards. But it was ultimately a loss, but they got their first goal, Jim.
They did.
They got their first goal.
Penalty, as it was, though.
It was a penalty.
And there was some quite unbelievably bad defending against Brighton on occasion.
I was a bit. You're right, Luke. I was gutted for Mpanzu.
Yeah. Yeah.
Such a great story around
Mpanzu. Of course, it was him who made the mistake.
Yeah, I mean, of course, for those who have forgotten or don't know, completed his journey to become the first player to play in the top five divisions of English football with the same club. That is remarkable.
Yeah.
And then the first game, I mean, look, they were 2-1 down. I don't think there was any danger.
I'll make the error so people know where I've come from.
That's true.
Good point.
No, they know quite how low down the level I've played.
Unbelievable.
And then from now on, he'll kick on.
Yeah, by the fifth game, he'll be an absolute world beater.
Yeah, he's doing it on a cycle. So next week, he's going to do League 2 defending.
Right, okay. Yeah, Rob Edwards, if you're listening, put him on the bench. That's how you bypass this. Before the weekend, it was a massive grass portrait of Mpanzu painted by Luton Airport in a spot visible from the flight path.
Yeah, saying, pundits, prepare to eat your hats. Luton Town FC has landed.
Yeah. Anybody eating their hats on the weekend?
Probably were thinking about taking off again. It's a tough ask for them to go to Brighton on the opening day. You know, Brighton are such a really good team. And Brighton are this team that seem to be like totally impervious to losing players. Yeah, I mean, like, Caicedo doesn't play because of all the stuff going around. Yeah. They lose players all the time. And for some reason, they seem just to be able to just crack on.
Yeah, that is absolutely spot on. Because at another time, when your star midfielder is, you know, the focus of, you know, two big teams duking out for him, the onus then becomes on you, like, okay, how do you replace this guy? And like, oh, we've done that, don't worry.
Yeah, forgetting Alexis McAllister as well.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Also, they've got Simon Adingra comes in, been on loan in Belgium as he's part of their, you know, their plan. Comes in, scores straight away. It's like, oh, there's another one. It's just, they keep unearthing them.
Yeah, I just wonder, though, with the two massive players that they've lost. Like, opening game against Luton for Brighton, you expect Brighton to win that, and they did, of course. Yeah. They scored a couple of late goals to make sure. But I don't know, as the season goes on, I don't worry about Brighton at all, but I just wonder if they don't replace them or someone really doesn't properly step up. That is two huge
with
players.
With Europe as well.
So we shall see.
I think you can just sum them up and their stint in the Premier League this time around with just the signing of Pascal Gross. Like, in 2017, £3 million.
Yeah.
He's probably one of their best ever players. He's getting on for 200 league games for them now.
Yeah.
He's still doing it. He was brilliant against Luton. He's unlucky not to score, actually. I think he hit the woodwork in that game.
Nice to hear it be called the woodwork.
Every single, because I can't remember if it's the post or the bar. I just have a big thing in my mind that he did. And over the last few years or so, he has just been the classic under the radar, brilliant Premier League operator. And for £3 million to get that many seasons out of him, that many appearances out of him, I remember on the ramble we said at the time, it's like a great kind of ruby in the dust. And he's proven that he can be polished up. And now he's sat on top of a lovely Brighton crown.
Well, yeah, you can figure it all out with the gross net calculator.
He can also play like pretty much every position.
Yeah, he certainly has. Yeah. He's not too proud. Yeah. Can I throw
ain't
something
too proud to beg?
Yeah, that's true. You don't need to beg.
No, he
Brighton.
Doesn't.
No. So this tweet popped up from April from Scouted Football, and it basically just sums up what Brighton are about. So this account, kind of Scouted Football as it sounds, he goes, ran some basic numbers that broadly replicate what Moses Caicedo's data profile is. Up pops this Scottish under-21 international called Mark Leonard, who has played 3,200 minutes for second place Northampton Town in League Two. So this is last season. Mm-hmm. Guess what? He's on loan from Brighton.
Oh, really? That's amazing. Wow. That tells you everything you need to know.
Indeed, yeah. Exciting to see Evan Ferguson score again.
Yeah,
what a player he's going to be.
He's got a huge future.
I hope they can keep hold of him, because it will get a bit tedious if they just lose every single player.
I feel like a striker is one of the players they can keep hold of, though, because, you know, so much of what everyone else needs is governed by what they do, seemingly.
Yeah.
And all their, you know, all their midfielders, their wide men, like, you know, they kept hold of Mitoma.
That's true. But it's not been that long with Mitoma, though, has it?
No, I suppose. But it wasn't that long with Cucurella. It wasn't that long with, you know, a couple of other players.
That's right. Yeah, indeed. Vish, your beloved Manchester United play tonight.
Yes, they do.
Against Wolverhampton Wanderers. How are you feeling about it, big boy?
Anxious, nervous, worried?
Well, I wasn't until you said that. Yeah, pretty calm. I mean, if you're going to start a season against anyone, let it be someone who's decided to sack their manager before they got going.
Disrespectful to Gary O'Neill, a Pompey great.
Is he?
Who, by the way, won away from home in big fashion this weekend.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you're very confident. Let's have a prediction.
Is this going to be a regular thing?
Oh, yes. I mean, contractually.
Your prediction of Hunter Raja. That's your name.
Well, that's my brother's name. Prediction of Hunter Raja.
Well, anyway, everybody, we won't make Vish.
Listen, I'll predict one for you. I think it'll be a home win.
0-0.
There you go.
0-0. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Luke and I will be back for the first Ramble Reacts of the new season after tonight's Monday night football between Manchester United and
I'm excited
Wolves.
For it. I love watching the game on a Monday night and then getting the chat to old Spell Dog afterwards.
Oh, who wouldn't want that?
That's great.
Follow us on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. There we are, everybody. The Premier League season is truly underway. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vitush and Antaraja.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. See you tomorrow. We are the world. We are the children, everybody. Welcome to the... What are you shaking your head
for? A Michael Jackson reference
it
about children.
It wasn't Michael Jackson.
Who was it then?
There's loads of people.
You're sticking with that, are you?
Fucking hell. What year is it? Answer as quickly as you can.
Don't think about it. What year is it?
It's the highest year on record.
Right. We are the world. We are the team. Shoot, fucking shut up. You're not doing that. Do another one. Do anything else. Any other line in the English language.
I thought to myself, I'm going to see if I can get that one through today.
It's not Michael Jackson. It's loads of people.
Okay, are we ready?
Do R. Kelly.
Right, are we ready?
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.